Hi, it's Nancy Ureld, and welcome to Nancy Psychic View on the High Road to Humanity. And gosh, we have a lovely lady back here. Barbara Berger's here. And Barbara's been here a couple times, but what's going on your neck of the woods? What's happening where you are today?
Well, if you've been watching any of the news, I live actually in Europe. So it's only 800-900 miles from where I live in Copenhagen, Denmark, to the war in Ukraine. So bad stuff.
It goes on. Yeah, it goes on. What has changed since I've talked to you last? Can I ask that question as far as the war in Ukraine?
The fact that the United States has not come through with the aid package this time, that has severe consequences because they don't have enough ammunition. They're very brave people down there, but the Russians are really battering the country. So we're all praying here in Europe that the United States will come through with the latest aid package. It's really a question of life and death for these people. So
yeah, and you know, it's sad because what's happening over here, and I'm sure you're aware, is that the Biden administration, I'll just say this because this is High Road to Humanity, has tapped on this immigration bill to it. They've attached it. And see, here we are in the United States, and I'm in Arizona. And we have thousands and actually millions. We have millions of migrants coming across, unvetted, coming from prisons, coming from, mental health institutions. This is craziness happening in the United States. And what they've done is, instead of separating the two, they've attached it. And I don't know, you're probably aware of this.
I am aware of it. I mean, also Europe has had the same migration problem from the Middle East and from the Far East. I mean, during the war in Syria and from Turkey. So Europe has been struggling with the same problem. So I totally understand.
Yeah.
And to regulate it, on the one hand, you have all these poor people who want a better life. And then we have our societies and our, so it's...
It's a whole thing. Yeah, it's really a crazy thing going on. Well, I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad we're talking about it at least, you know, making people aware. Hey, I want to just bring up really quickly, you guys, I'm going to be in Florida next week, and I'm going to be down there at the New Life Expo. And gosh, it'd be so fun if you could come and join me down there. I'm going to be speaking about the angels. I'm going to be teaching, well, not teaching. I get to speak this time. I don't get to teach, but I'm going to be speaking about angel communication, how to connect with the divine, how to connect, you know, with your guardian angel. And so, and I have a little table. I'll be doing some angel readings, you guys, over the weekend. So it's the 16th and the 17th, and I'll be in Deerfield, Boca. So come and see me. Then I want to mention also, I put a new class up on my website yesterday. So it is angel communication, and it starts April. Let's see, we're going to do this for 3 Saturdays. It's going to go from April 13th, the 20th, and the 27th. Please sign up if you're interested in communicating with your guardian angel. It's a big deal. It's my first class. I'm really excited. So it'll be on Zoom. It'll be me, and it'll be live. So I'm very excited about that. So I wanted to mention all of that. Now, let's talk about this lovely lady here. You know, if you don't know who Barbara Berger is.
Before we do that, I would really like to say, apropos the war, all these wars and all the trouble, I have a meditation every day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, European time. So that's 9 in the morning, New York time. But anyway, everyone is, for 10 minutes, everyone is asked to join in, and we send love and light and healing to all the trouble spots. And to try to do it together. So for you, it would be pretty early in Arizona. But if you're an early riser.
I am an early riser. I might join you. And so how do I connect with you?
Each person, we're all part of this global consciousness, right? And so it's the synchronicity of that we do it at the same time.
I see. Okay.
From 3 o'clock my time. So I think that would be 7 in the morning. You're maybe 8 in the morning. I'm not sure. You have to check.
All right.
But you lived in Germany before, so you know how to figure
out.
Yeah.
The conversion. Yeah. Oh, I get you. And I agree with that. You know, it's funny you say this. I'm going to put myself out there. You know, I'm really glad you said this. Before I go to bed at night, and even in the morning lately, I've been just sending out love and light.
Exactly.
To the world. And yeah, because that energy, when you do that, that energy really makes a difference. I mean, you could,
yeah, and so the more of us that do it together, that's exactly my point.
Yeah,
that if we can synchronize it and do it together,
let's
because powerful souls like you and a powerful, as I know some other, the more we are together,
in unison.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the collective consciousness, but trying to set, and as you say, to envision this wave of healing energy, love and light, spreading to all these, to the Middle East, to Ukraine, to the border of the southern border of the United States, wherever there is conflict and people are suffering, let us share the light as much as we can with them. So.
Right. And it makes a difference. Just so
I will send
know.
You, I have something on my website where I describe it, a half a page. I'll send you the link and you can share it if you would
okay.
like.
Okay. Okay. That would be wonderful because, and I just, you know, when you do that, as I'm doing this, I just want you guys to know when you do this, I can feel the energy that I've sent. I mean, you can feel it. You guys, you just have to.
I can feel it just talking to you now.
I got some strong energy going on, you guys. All right. So Barbara Berger's here. She is a best-selling author, you guys. She's written a ton of books. 15. Is it 20? Is it 20?
It's somewhere between 15 and 20.
Okay. Empowerment
it
books.
Changing. I just came with another one. So all the
well,
time.
Okay. Well, we're just going to talk about this one today. Are you happy now? And I really am glad we're going to talk about this because as I went through it, it really is needed. And you guys, I picked out a few. There's 10. Okay. Just so you know, there's 10 ways to live a happy life. So I picked out 5. So we're going to start with the first one, which is accept what is. We waste time resisting. You say, accept what's going on right now. Whatever's happening is what should be happening. We have a hard time with that.
Can I just back up for a moment? I just sort of like to tell our audience how this book was born. It's kind
go
of interesting. I wasn't planning on writing it, but I had one of those major birthdays. And afterwards, I was laying on my sofa thinking, okay, Barbara, you're getting a little older. What have you learned from your life? And what do you need to remember to live the rest of your life a little bit more sanely, a little bit more happily? Okay. And so just for my own sake, I was laying there on the sofa and I started making this list. And I wrote this list of the 10 points, which ended up being this book. But it wasn't my intention to write a book. The next day, I was having lunch with this big Scandinavian publisher, the one who did The Road to Power, the previous bestseller. And I was having lunch with her. And then I told her, I took my list along and I showed it to her. I hadn't written the book. And she said, oh, my God, this is a fantastic idea, Barbara. You must write a book. Yeah. And so that's how this book happened. It sort of spontaneously came to me. And apparently, then it became a bestseller also. This book is published in 20 languages. So
I know. I want to say that. 20 languages, you guys. This is, I mean, it really is good. And yeah, that's why I really want to kind of delve into some of these things.
Well, thank you. But anyway, I thought our audience should know that the way it just came from the heart. It was for myself. It was like, originally I just called it a reminder to myself, but then it became.
Note to self. Yeah.
So anyway, the first one is accept what is. That's what you started with. And that's sort of in terms of living a happy life. If we are at war with reality and want things to be different all the time, we always lose because reality is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, really important to, again, in my experience, and I don't know, maybe we should also say that I've been working as a coach and a therapist for the last 200 years. So I have talked to so many people. But getting real about the nature of life in these physical bodies, getting real about what it's possible to change and what's not possible to change, having a more realistic understanding of what you can do something about and what you can't do anything about, that is one of the most important things I've discovered with myself and with hundreds of other people to living a happy life. And when I say that, it doesn't mean that you're passive. It doesn't mean that you can't work for change. It doesn't mean that you can't improve yourself.
Okay.
But it does mean understanding that there are so many things which belong to, you could say, the nature of life in physical bodies. And as you are a channel or a communicator from the higher realms, you do understand and know that the nature of life in a physical body, life and death, and all these different things which are a part of this human existence, those are things that we cannot change.
No, and it's hard. Oh, I just want to say it's hard. I was fixing my light. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to be down here. I just want to say that because
I agree. From, it's really hard.
Because you know what? I just want to interject really quick because even as a little kid, being here on this planet was hard for me to watch how mean kids are to each other. And those mean kids grew up to be mean adults.
Mm-hmm. And I've read some of your New Angel book where you tell about your life and you've had a hard time. It's true. You really, really had a tough background. I've had a hard time in my way too. I mean, we'll come to that, but how I was in exile from the United States and all these things. So,
but it made you who you are today, Barbara.
Exactly. But it's the same with you. The fact that the things that you do, they have, I always say how our karma becomes our dharma. I mean, in other words, we have this, the karma that we are born into this body and this existence with, but then what do we do with it? And in other words, you've used it just like I've used the tough lessons that we've learned to try to be of service and to try to do some good in the world. Well, if we're able to.
Right. Well, I really feel like I'll just speak for myself, but I feel like you did this too. Every time I was knocked down, I got back up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was more connecting to God, connecting to the divine that, you know, it's like we're being pushed to the divine.
I agree.
You know, and once you connect and once that's why I'm out there teaching people to connect, because I realized when I connected, that's how you save yourself.
And yeah, but then when you're connected with the God force, the divinity within you and with all other, I mean, that is the highest frequency, the most powerful energy there is. So I mean, again, it's wonderful that you're doing that. The world needs more of what you and I do. That's my personal opinion here.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of us. I will say that people are waking up. People are waking up. You know, it's a slow process, but they are waking up. Let's go on to the next one. This one was really interesting. I love your list. It was just really interesting. What you have people want what they don't have. Okay. So everybody wants what they don't have.
Yeah. But the second one, I say that, you know, the first one, the 10 causes of suffering. So number two is want what you have. So the number two cause of suffering is that you want what you don't have.
Right.
So if you look at that, wanting what you don't have, again, if you want to live a happy life, if you want to be connected to the God force, which is within you right here, right now, wanting what you don't have is not the way to go about it. And so I say in that chapter, how would it be just as an experiment, instead of disliking everything that you have, what about wanting what you do have? And noticing all the good things that you already have, instead of focusing on all the stuff that you think out there will make you happy if you get that.
Right. And it comes back to being grateful for what we've got.
Exactly.
It really does. And that took me time. And I'm sure the audience, you know, it takes time to start to really be grateful for the small things, you know.
But it's not just the small things. It's actually when you think about the divinity, the God force in us, that you already have access to everything. The external stuff is not the important stuff. I mean, the basic premise of this book, Are You Happy Now?, is that true happiness, unconditional happiness, is our nature to begin with. Mm-hmm. The divinity within us is unconditional happiness, unconditional love, unconditional connection. So it's not something that we have to get or create, but we have blocked it.
Right, and it's free.
And it's free. It doesn't cost anything. It's always available, and it's your true nature. I used to use the example that you're the sunshine, you're the sun, But if you think about the way the weather is, I don't know how it is where you live, but here in Scandinavia, it's often cloudy and snowy, and the sun is covered, so we don't see the sun, but the sun is still there. And my premise in this book is that all our sort of confused thinking is like the clouds that are blocking our connection to our own divinity, the sun shining within us. So we don't, people have this idea that there's something out there that I have to get to make me happy. And I try to explain that it's actually the opposite, that it's already there within you, but because of your mistaken beliefs or confused thinking or things you haven't examined, that you yourself with your mistaken beliefs are blocking your own connection to the divinity, the light within you.
Right. Well, I was going to say, and I didn't want to interrupt your train of thought there, but it's like came to me, you know, once I started to connect, and I'm talking about plugging in and bringing in the light down mm-hmm. through your crown chakra and down through your body. And to me, yes. that's connecting. Mm-hmm. And when I started to do that, and I've told the audience too, that's when I became joyful.
Yes.
And centered. So this yeah. isn't just woo-woo stuff. This is This is for real, because once you do that, your whole life changes. Then you start to see everything from a different.
Well, actually, one of my other many books that I've written is called Gateway to Grace. And that is a book about the chakras and meditation and bringing down the light, connecting with your higher self. And it's definitely true that when we do these things, we get in touch with this bliss consciousness. It changes our whole way of being in these bodies on the earth. So,
you talk about the stories we tell each other, or we tell ourselves, mm-hmm. and the standards that we set. Mm-hmm. And what I think a lot of this is stories that we tell each other and then we tell ourselves, because we get used to this programming and we have to reprogram. But the other is, how do we react to when things happen? That's my biggest thing. It's a reaction, isn't it?
Well, you could say there's two things in what you're saying. The one is, yes, we are all programmed from birth by our families and societies and all these things that we learn and we're not aware of. But then these thoughts that we have, these beliefs, I mean, when things happen in the exterior, our response is totally controlled by the beliefs that we have. It's a conditioned response. It's first when we start to understand that the difference between the event, in other words, something happens, and then most people still have the idea, you know, oh, that happened out there and that's why I'm happy, or that happened out there and that's why I'm unhappy. They haven't discovered yet that there's a middle point, which is our interpretation. In other words, the way we interpret mm-hmm. what's going on. Mm-hmm. And once you understand that your experience depends not so much on what's happening, but how you interpret what's happening, that's the key to freedom. And that's the key to taking your power back. Mm-hmm. So we have to learn and we have to understand the power of the mind and how that forms and shapes our experience 100%.
It does. Well, you talk about the never enough syndrome. And I see this with so many. I saw this with my mom. I'll just give her. Mm-hmm. She's not here, and God bless her. I love my mom, but she's gone now. But she would buy glassware. And she had so much glassware. And dude, you can't take it with you, you know, but she had all this glassware. And every time I'd come over, she'd say, "Will you wash my glassware for me?" And I'd say, "Yeah, Mom, I'll wash the glassware for you." And, you know, and it would shine for a while and then it'd become dusty again. But that was what she was, it was like she was using that to fill herself up. Mm. I'm using this as an example. People do it with cars. People do it with houses. People do it with clothes. People do it with themselves, like recreating themselves, you know? And it's the never enough syndrome, you call it. So, I mean, and when you just said that.
But it's also because we believe that our value or our worth is somehow connected with things outside of us.
Material things.
Yeah, exactly. And that the divinity, the inherent worth of each human being is the God force within. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's okay to have things in the outer, but it's more that when our self-worth is based on that.
Well, it doesn't fill you up. It doesn't, It doesn't bring the satisfaction.
No.
You got to keep doing more. It's like a drug addict. You got to keep doing more and more until you can feel filled up. Is that
codependency?
Well, and you know, I've seen it's interesting because I think people are starting to get it a little bit. You know, and I see this with the small houses. People are starting to downsize and realize, you know, that maybe the big house and all the stuff is not so great. You know,
that would kind of be super good for planet Earth if we all downsize. That's I've been writing about that in many of my books, that we need to take better care of our home planet Earth, and not consuming so much, not building so much, not using so much energy. All of these things are expressions of, you know, that we're not taking good care of our home, this Earth. So
well, how much is enough?
I beg your pardon?
How much is enough?
Well, that's why everything is relative in the relative world, because it's exactly that. Who gets to define what you need to live a happy life? So that's the big question.
But then we've circled back. It's not about the stuff. It's about, I could live I will say this truly. I could live a happy life in a smaller house with less stuff because of my connection to God.
Exactly. I totally agree. So, but again, you and I, and I mean, I'm trying to do that downsizing, walk our talk, and try to be a living demonstration of this principle that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. People are attracted to you because you are a channel for the light.
Yeah.
That kind of attraction is much more powerful and much more important than somebody is attracted to you because you have a fancy house or a nice car. I mean, it has to do also with the levels of consciousness of people who are some more materialistic minded. As one evolves, one becomes less dependent on material things as a way of affirming your worth. Then people become more interested in being of service or doing some good in the world or the spiritual pathway. Becoming, and so that is also part of the evolution of mankind here on planet Earth.
I did this a little experiment at Christmas time. I won't get into too personal, but it's a relative, a close relative, and they don't want to talk on the phone, but they want to send me nice presents.
Okay.
And so I didn't send them anything this year.
Okay.
Because I wanted them to realize that it wasn't about the gifts. And I see this a lot, and I'm bringing it up because I did this and they weren't happy and they're not happy with me, but I wanted them to be aware that I would rather have a nice conversation and say, how are you? Instead of sending me something really expensive that means nothing. Mm-hmm. And do you see this happen in your practice a lot?
Yes, of course. I mean, again, there's so much on the surface, but again, strong human connections and respectful, loving conversations is the most important for all of us. I mean, who cares about the rest of the stuff? But it's also a typical aspect of a dysfunctional family that, you know, on the surface,
everything's great.
Exactly. Yeah. But behind closed doors in private, it's not the same. There isn't. So we should not be fooled by the exterior. But the other thing is too about is that if you're someone like you who's very sensitive, I know you know that you can feel the vibrational frequency of other people. Mm-hmm. And so you can feel, as you said before, when you talk, when people are mean or people are, they don't need to say anything, but it's a frequency. It's a vibrational frequency, the lower frequencies. Mm-hmm. And so the higher frequencies, then you feel peace and harmony and attraction and all the good energy. So mm-hmm. And you cannot really hide anything in this universe. It all comes out in the end.
Isn't that the truth? That's the truth. All right, well, let's move on to the next one. Okay, I really like this, you know, and this really helped me. I'll just say that. I love your book. It's so cool, you guys. This is what it looks like. You guys are watching me on YouTube. Are you happy now? And this is what it looks like. It's by Barbara Berger. You say be honest with yourself. Look within. Know yourself. This is something that I just put in my book. To thine own self be true. And you probably read that if you read my book a little bit. Mm-hmm. Becoming your own best friend. And that is something I think I want you to talk about it, because I don't think it's taken me forever to learn how to do this. And I'm still working on it, you know?
Well, it is a process. It is a process. Also, because we've been programmed from an early age to please others. And again, don't misunderstand me. It's not that we shouldn't treat other people with respect, but we haven't learned that you have a right, I have a right to be who we are, mm-hmm. and that we're different. Each soul is unique. And one of the things that's so troubling about the way people try to bring up their children is that the children are sort of, they're supposed to please the parents. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be a good parent and bring up your children and have rules and house rules and so on, but to respect that each child has their own destiny path. Mm-hmm. I've written another book called Find and Follow Your Inner Compass, which is really about this question, the whole book. It's not a very big book, but maybe you would like to see that one too. But it's about that we each have our own connection to the God force. And I call it the inner compass.
Okay.
And
yeah.
then when you're in alignment with the God force, it's like, I call it a compass because it's like it's pointing north. You're connected with the God force. And when you are connected, then you have good energy, a high frequency, ease and flow in your life. And when you're not connected, in other words, when you go away from your connection, then you're not, the compass is not pointing north anymore, and you have a lot of discomfort or anger or fear or anxiety.
It's erratic. Yeah, exactly. It can go anywhere. Okay.
But in a way, these negative emotions are a signal from within saying to you that you're off course, that you need to get back. And so, but then I, in this book, I explain how, because we have been programmed from an early age to please mom, dad, whoever it was, we never learned about the inner compass, and we never learned that we had our own guidance system within us.
Right.
And so this about taking better care of yourself, finding out who you really are, asking yourself what's your values are, what's important to you. It's actually the most important conversation we can have. You could say it's the conversation between ourselves and the God force. And so this book, which I wrote quite a few years ago, that chapter has been expanded to a whole book called Find and Follow Your Inner Compass, which, because I think you're so spot on, Nancy, that this is such an important issue mm-hmm. for so many of us. And again, it's a mistaken belief. It's this being a people pleaser, over-responsible, perfectionism, mm-hmm. and then not taking care of ourselves in the right, proper way.
Right. Here's what I wrote down from this. Do you realize you are the one person you're going to spend the rest of your life?
Yes. That's a cool thing to think about.
Yeah. And then she says, get close enough to yourself to know who you are.
Yeah.
And then this really hit home, because I see this in, I saw this in myself where I used to be like this. I'm not anymore, but I see it in other people. Some people live happy lives for their husbands, for their wives, mm-hmm. for their children. And you mm-hmm. say, what about you?
Exactly.
What about you? And I see that people yeah. don't live their lives for themselves. They're living it for somebody else.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but that's also why people have crises and why people have nervous breakdowns and why people have depressions, because sooner or later it catches up with you. It does. And the other thing that I have noticed that's really important to understand is that everything you think, say, and do has consequences.
Yes.
That's a universal principle mm-hmm. for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing with that is that that's a way of learning. So in other words, if you go to the right, it has those consequences and you get to experience that. If you go to the left, you has some other consequences. So in that way, life is a self-correcting mechanism
to teach you. Yeah.
No, exactly. And so the more we are awake and aware, the sooner we can learn these lessons. People who get stuck keep, you know, they're
doing
in that
the same thing over and over and
exactly.
over. Yeah. It's a repeat. Yeah. And you guys, I write about that too. I'm going to throw my book out here. Wake up. The universe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. What about the new book?
I know. Well, this is the relaunch of Wake Up. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I talk about this in this book. If you don't get the lesson the first time, you have to do it again. The new book won't be out for 10 months.
okay.
10 months. Yeah, it takes time.
Yeah.
For the guidance. But yeah, it'll be out. It'll be a guide to angel communication and spiritual
Good,
work,
good.
which we need. You know, this one, I laughed so hard when I saw this one. She wrote, "Mind your own business." Mine, okay,
Why?
I love this.
So why did you laugh? Why did you laugh?
Because my mom used, I don't know, people are so nosy. Like, I don't know. I have to be careful what I say because I've got some nosy people. But minding other people's business is a surefire way to make yourself unhappy, is what you say.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, gossip, wondering what your neighbors are doing. It's not a good idea.
Well, again, if we go back to it's also a question about having healthy boundaries. And if we go back to my definition, which I write about in some of the other books, and which I also coach people in, is if you think about that a relationship is like a tennis court. You know, if we're playing tennis, you and me, so the tennis court looks like that, but there's a net in the middle.
Right.
You have your side of the net and I have my side of the net. And when we play tennis, I don't jump over on your side of the net and you
no.
don't jump over on my side of the net.
Not unless
but,
I win. No, I'm just kidding.
But anyway, but again, when we don't mind our, so that's minding your own business. You stand your side of the net, I stand my, but a lot of people, the most common boundary violation is coming with unasked for advice, telling another person what they should eat, how they should think, what they should wear, what they should do with their kids, when the other person didn't ask for your advice. That's a boundary violation. In other words, if you ask me for my advice about what should you wear to the party tonight, then I can tell you, Nancy, that dress is awful, wear the other dress. But if
right.
you don't ask me, none of my business, right? So learning to respect other people's rights to live their lives the way they want to and to take the consequences of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really, really, as being a coach, I talk to people every day. That's one of the number one problems, is this confusion about boundaries, and somebody's always minding somebody's business that's not their business. And that really, really destroys so many relationships which could actually function well if it wasn't for these boundary violations. So it's a really important thing this year to remind yourself, whose business am I minding? And if it's not yours,
stay out of it. Well, you know, and I'm just going to bring up judgment because I believe this all stems from judgment.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Because we have become such a society, and this is something I've worked on for, gosh, I'm going to say, I'm doing pretty good on it. About 7 years now, I learned you don't judge somebody else if you don't want to be judged. And that is what I see most often in the world right now, is judgment of people and things and situations when you know nothing about the real deal, but you want to put your judgment on it and your opinion. And that's where I think mind your own business really comes.
You're a very wise woman. That was really well said.
Thank you. Well, that's how I feel. I'm frustrated because I see it so much.
Exactly.
I see it in the news. I see it with
you
people.
Do.
I mean, just stop judging each other, you know, because we're these souls in these bodies. And that's the biggest thing that's happened in the United States. Now you're going to get me on a soapbox, is the people's color and their race. You know, with all this stuff happening in Israel and the Jewish state, we've had so many of our Jewish students at the universities are being, you know, targeted. Yes. And it's horrible. And I don't know why we can't, as a society, I know you don't have all the answers, Barbara, but why can't we see each other as souls? Why do we have to like look each other and go, oh, well, he's darker than me. So it's crazy. This
it
is the craziest thing I've ever seen, honestly.
It's really crazy. I totally agree with you. It's so sad. It's really, really sad.
Well, we got to get beyond it. We just have to get beyond the part where we don't look at what somebody looks like on the outside, that we see the soul from the inside. I mean, that's
just... I completely agree with you. I completely agree. I couldn't say it better myself.
Well,
this is our greatest challenge here on planet Earth. It's tearing us apart, these divisions, and some people know better than others. It's horrible.
Well, and that we're not treating, I mean, not... that we don't treat human life with respect. There's so much human trafficking going on, you guys. This whole thing about human trafficking, I can see why God's going to put a stop to it because it's out of hand. And there's only so much all of us, I mean, we have to band together. I don't know what the answer is. What do you think, Barbara? I know it's a
Well,
deep
again, I
subject.
always say that so that we don't get overwhelmed. Each one of us, you, me, I mean, you're in Arizona where you are. I happen to be in Copenhagen, Denmark. Each one of us is, we have a hemisphere of influence around us. In other words, that our words, thoughts, energy have a certain influence. And every person, every human being has a hemisphere of influence. Some people have a huge one. I mean, if you're a major figure, that you have a huge hemisphere of influence. I mean, you write books and I write books, so we have a bit larger hemisphere of influence. Now, some of my books are published around the world, so so each one of us has this hemisphere of influence, and that is our responsibility to do the highest and best where we are. For God placed you where He placed you. He placed me where He placed me. So I always think of, I think, like, why am I here? And so I know that God had a reason for putting me here. So our responsibility is to try to live up to the highest and best version of ourselves and our community and what we can do where we are
Right.
to
And
help.
it's not easy. I just want to say,
It's not
I'm going to
easy.
speak again. I just spoke in LA. I'm getting ready to go to Florida. And it's hard, you guys, because I have to get up and talk about angels and people. You don't know if people are just going to say you're nuts or whatever. But I do it because I do work for God. And it's exactly what you said. I could sit behind this computer. This is how I feel, Barbara. I could sit behind this computer and do shows, and I've done over 400 shows, but no, that's not doing me any good or anybody else. So now I'm out there with the
Good for
people.
you. Good for you.
I have to
Good for
because,
you.
yeah, and it's
Yes, I
scary and
agree.
it's not easy and it's hard to travel and the whole bit, but I do it because of you guys. I do it because I want to help. And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. We
I mean,
have to.
again, the highest and best that you can envision at every moment in time, that's your job and you're doing it. In other words, you push yourself, I push myself to what is it that we can actually do?
Right. Well, and that.
And the universe is always opening up new options and new things that, like suddenly the people in Greece want me to do something. And so I'm going to do something in Greece. I mean, so
See?
you just got to do what
What you got to
the
do. Well, and that.
exact.
This goes along with the last one we're going to talk about, which is follow your passion. And it's true. I mean, this is why I've pulled this one because I'm dealing with it right now. Because you say it's not so easy. Because
Well,
people, well, and I just say one thing and then I'll shut up and let you talk about it. But the reason it's not so easy sometimes to follow your passion, you say because of other people, really, what is somebody else going to think? Or what are they going to say instead of like, what do I want and what do I want to do? I mean, talk about this. This is big because people don't do
but
what they want to do.
again, that it's the difference between, I call it other referral and self-referral.
Okay.
So other referral is when you all the time want love and approval or whatever from other people about whatever is your passion or your dream or whatever is driving you, and that never is going to work. So self-referral is when you're grounded enough in yourself and you can be take a realistic, look at what are my talents, what are my strengths, and we'll ask God, what do you want me to do? And then listen and do it. I mean, and then stop worrying about other people. I mean, it's not going to work that there. It's impossible.
It's
And
simple,
so
huh?
the other thing that I also write about in that chapter about follow your passion is the importance of intention. In other words, like I write about Gandhi and be the change that you want to see in the world and all these people that I really look up to. But the great wise ones, they always say that, when we do something to the highest and best of our ability, we cannot control the outcome. In other words, you're going to go to Florida and you're going to give your speech and you're going to do the highest and best you can do, but you cannot control how other people respond. You right. don't know if there's one person who you're going to change their life forever. Right. There might be some people who don't like what you say. So you cannot, that's called karma yoga. In other words, when you're doing karma yoga, you're responsible for what you do. But you understand that once you've done the highest and best that you can do, it's up to the universe. You right. cannot control the results. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's so important in this connection is to, as long as what you're responsible for is your intention. Mm-hmm. That's your job. In other words, if your intention is the highest and best I can conceive of, am I in alignment with the God force within me? If you answer yes to those questions, then you know that you are in alignment with you and the God force in you. And more than that, you cannot do.
Right.
But that's a lot.
It is a lot, but I like this story. I want you to tell this story because this is real life. And there are a lot of people out there who want to do this work, but they're afraid to. And you tell a story of Sonia who worked for the government for 20 years. And then she started taking some classes, some spiritual stuff. And she decided she wanted to open up a massage clinic, you know? But she had all these doubts, right? And that's mm-hmm. what I see happening with a lot of spiritual people. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes a lot of guts to make the jump from a job 9 to 5 into doing this work because you're not going to get a regular paycheck. I really mm-hmm. like that you address this. Let's talk about this a little bit. Encourage.
Well, again, it's really important to understand that people who are hearing the calling of a spiritual pathway, I have noticed this a lot. It's often that, you know, they have to make money to survive. Say you have a family and kids, you have to pay the rent and stuff. So there's the survival aspect, and then there is the calling, the dream. And for many people that I coach, a lot of people that are working on that, but there's a lot of people that can't make the jump immediately to living on what they would really like to do. Someone like you, that you can live on it. You've been doing it for many years. I can live on it.
And I'm still not there. And I'm still not there. I'm still working on it.
Okay. So again, now you know what I'm talking about. It's a process. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But as long as you can honor that, in other words, you don't not make it so black and white either or. Does it make it more, you know, like, okay, I'm in this situation. I've got 3 kids. I have to make money and somehow do that. I was a single mother with 3 children for many years, and I was a copywriter. I used my writing talent besides writing the books mm-hmm. to make money, to survive. Mm-hmm. But I kept on working on the other thing also. So little by little, I got there. So it is a process. And I really, really think people are sometimes, they're just so hard on themselves because they think, okay, I'm going to do something else and I'm going to be a success from day one and I'm going to make a lot of money and can live doing that. It doesn't work like that for most people. It just doesn't. So you've had this experience yourself too.
Well, yeah. Well, I was in the real estate industry for many years, single mom.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. And I did my spiritual stuff on the side.
Exactly.
You know, and then was able to write my first book. But, you know, even these last few years doing my podcast, I don't make money at doing this. I will begin to make money speaking. Money will come from my new book. Money will come from my classes. But this has taken me 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, God, I can't even tell you how many years. Yeah. But I will say this. Once you work for God, you don't have to worry about the money. Because the money comes.
That's a good secret, my dear.
It's the truth. Because when you're a follower.
One of my favorite affirmations about that is money comes to me from all directions. So I don't close the channels.
Well, I have to say something before we get out of here today. You really changed my life when you were here last time. And you had this affirmation that says, every day in every way, I get better and better.
Every day in every way, I am getting better and better.
And Barbara Berger, I say it every day now because of you. I do. And every day in every way, I am getting better and better.
You are getting better and better. It has changed so many people's lives. I write about it in the Road to Power book, the one we talked about last time, this one
yes,
here.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And it's not my affirmation. It's Emi Kuwe it's an old famous affirmation. So say it out loud, 15 times in a row with feeling, 3 times a day, and then watch what happens. It will change your life.
Absolutely. Oh my God, Barbara. Thank you. Thanks for coming on today. We got to get
out of here.
Her book is called Are You Happy Now? There are 10 ways to live a happy life. It is by Barbara Berger. Barbara, how do people get in contact with you? Give out your information if people want to contact you.
The website is beamteam.com. BEAMTEAM.com. We're here to beam you up. And everything is on the website, the books. And if you want to have a session with me, you can book a session, and all the news that's fit to print is on that website. But also all my books in America, they're available on Amazon. And they're also, now I've actually recorded 6 of my books, 7's on the way to audiobooks. So they're
nice.
All, you can listen to me talk if you want.
I love, well, you know, and people really like audiobooks.
I know. So that's why I'm doing it.
A lot of people that I speak with, a lot of the younger girls, my daughter, a girl that does my hair, they all do the audiobooks, which is quite interesting. So Barbara Berger, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Blessings to you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. You too. All right, you guys, we're getting out of here for today. I wish everybody a fabulous week, and God bless.